thing I didn't have anything to do with what Mama named me. Amen. We were praying about getting away for a few days and going somewhere, and we have a school at the church in our fifth year, and my wife runs the school mostly, and praying about that, we felt like needed to come by a bond camp meeting, and it's been a blessing, a tremendous blessing to us to be here the last few days, and what we have heard and what we have felt, what we've experienced, we give God all the praise and the honor and the glory. And I feel like going back home. We're supposed to take a couple of more days, but I feel like going back home, I'm wanting to preach to my people. Praise God. Amen. And I want to say we appreciate Brother Justin and Sister Crystal for allowing us to stay at their home. When we first got there, they put us upstairs, and yesterday it got a little warm. And he told me, he said, "Now, we'll pack up that air conditioner if you want us to." And I said, "All right." I didn't know what he's talking about, you know. Down home, we don't talk, you know. We pack up shrimp, you pack up oysters, and you put them in boxes and send them off or something like that. And he said, I said, "All right, whatever you want to do, but we'll pack it up," he said. I said, "All right, I'm hot, let's pack it up." So he packed up his air conditioner out of his bedroom and put it in ours, and so I appreciate them so very much for being so good to us, and all of the ladies for cooking for us, and this church working so hard for having this meeting. God bless you for it. I want to read in Matthew chapter number 25. We appreciate Brother Gabbard and his family. They've been a blessing to us since we've got to know them, and looking forward to many more years of fellowship with the people of God. Matthew chapter 25, I want to begin reading verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in, naked, ye clothed me not, sick in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Would you lift your hand and help us pray here this morning? God, we thank you for your wonderful presence and the privilege to preach the word of God today, and asking you for your anointing upon us to help your people, that we might speak the word of the Lord. Nothing more, nothing less. Touch us here today, I pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen. We didn't get to make it here the first couple of days of the meeting, so I do not know what was preached, but in listening to Brother Gabbard leading the service and Brother Sutherland last night preaching, they had mentioned about things that had been preached this week, and Brother Sutherland last night talked about how sin was defined and made clear, and holiness was preached unto us, and people were not responding to what was being preached. And while I was sitting over there listening to the Word of God and praying in my heart. I felt like the Lord spoke to me. And God dealt with my heart. A simple, simple thing. The only alternative for holiness is hell. It's either holiness or it's hell. And if the Lord will help me this morning, it's not a camp meeting style message. But I want to preach to us about perfect hell. Amen. Perfect hell. Everything that our God does, He does it perfectly. He brings it to a state of perfection that we as humans sometimes are hard for us to imagine or to fathom. Amen. When God created the earth, it was a perfect act of creation. When you look just for a moment right quickly at how precise God's creation was in its original creation, it took 23 hours and 56 minutes and 4.09 seconds, scientists say, for the earth to make one rotation upon its axis, one day for it to spin. The Bible tells us the earth is a little 6,000 years old, and so for 6,000 years the earth has been turning in those same amount of time, every day, in, day out, day in, day out, because God's creation was so perfect. Over 4 million days have passed, but still 23 hours, 56 minutes, 4.09 seconds for the earth to make one rotation upon its axis. 365 days, 6 hours and 9 minutes and 9.54 seconds. It takes the earth to travel in one revolution around the sun. Over 6,000 trips have been taken by the earth, and it's still just as precise as it was in the day that God created it in its perfection. When God created Adam and Eve, they were such a perfect state of humanity. It was impossible to improve upon their perfection. Amen. Nothing could have been done. Man was so glorious in his state of perfection in his creation. We have developed technology. We can put so much information on just a tiny computer chip. But still, it pales in comparison to the mind that God created in the very beginning when He made Adam and when He made Eve. God made a perfect heaven. Amen. A place of reward for the righteous. A place of perfect rest. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And it will be a place of perfect rest. Amen. Heaven will be a place of perfect happiness, for God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It'll be a place of perfect peace that passeth knowledge, that passeth understanding. The New Jerusalem will be such a place of perfect beauty, with walls of jasper, streets of purest gold, 12 foundations, amen. The glory of God will light in that city. No need of the sun, of the moon, of the stars, and the tree of life and the river of life will be so perfect in the beauty in which God created it. You see, friend, God created a perfect earth. He created a perfect heaven. He created a perfect man. And God also created a perfect hell. Amen. Hell will be as perfect as the earth is in its original creation. Hell will be as perfect as Adam and Eve were when they were originally created by God. And hell will be as perfect as the New Jerusalem. Thank God. You see, hell, friend, hell is a work of God. Amen. We see here in our text, the Bible said that God prepared hell for the angels, the devil and his angels. It was prepared by God. Therefore, it will be a perfect hell. Amen. It was prepared as a place of punishment to punish Satan and his angels that fell with him for their rebellion against God. Therefore, it will be a place of perfect punishment. Amen.
a place of torment that in this world you and I cannot fathom. I want to talk to you because there is no other alternative for holiness except hell. Amen. If you don't want holiness, and if you don't want what these preachers have been preaching, the only alternative you have is to die lost and to go to hell. Amen. Throughout history, man has tried to devise means of torture to torment their enemies. The Romans were meticulous in their methods of torture. They developed the thumb screw. They developed the rack, which would literally stretch a person until their limbs would tear from their body. They developed the scourge and a whip of cat of nine tails that would rip chunks of flesh from the individual's body. They developed the cross on which our Lord suffered and died. Amen. The Catholics had means of torture during the Inquisition. The Nazis had their torture in the concentration camps, as well as the communists in the death camps. And the Viet Cong had their means of torture and torment in the POW camps. Of the war. I want to tell you something, friend. God Himself created the torture and torments of hell. Amen. Nothing that has ever been on the face of this earth could even compare unto the torment of eternal hell. It will be a perfect torment. Amen. The darkness of hell is a darkness that we have never known upon the face of this earth. The Bible said that in Egypt, when God sent the plagues upon Egypt for 3 days, it was a darkness that could be felt. No one moved from the place in which they were at or sitting. Amen. Such a darkness enveloped them. But that darkness pales in comparison to the darkness of God's hell. Amen. It will be a place of eternal darkness that Jesus called outer darkness. Oh, such a perfect darkness that you cannot comprehend. Amen. I wonder here how many of you are afraid of the dark. How many of you are afraid of the noises that you hear when you pass through a dark place? Amen. The cracking of a stick. Amen. Are you fearful? Amen. As you hear the noise in your home at night, the creaking of the floor or the hinges upon the doors of your home. Oh, if you could hear the sounds of the darkness that you will hear in hell. You say, preacher, I do not want holiness. And I refuse to live what you preach. I refuse to hear what the Word of God has to say. Friend, the Holy Ghost dealt with me last night. The only alternative for you, if you will not accept holiness, is this place called hell. Oh, what screams if you're afraid of what you hear in the dark. To hear the screams of millions of individuals screaming in the darkness of hell. To hear the taunting screams, amen, of demons and devils and angels that were once in the presence of Almighty God, but are bound in everlasting chains of darkness as they try to break free and scream, sir, amen, hell is perfect in its torture, perfect in its torment, perfect in its darkness, and you don't want to go to hell, my God, but you're going there because you have rejected the holiness of God. Amen. There is no weeping like the weeping of hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping of a mother that has lost her baby and holds that baby in stillness of death. The weeping. I've been to many funerals and heard people weep and cry over those that they loved. I preached funerals for people I did not know them nor their family. But as they wept, it made me weep because of the sore travail and the weeping and the brokenness of their heart and their life. But it cannot compare to the weeping of hell. For that weeping will be a perfect weeping. Amen. Oh, the fire that is in hell will be a perfect fire. Amen. Scientists estimate that the center of the earth is some 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Fahrenheit. Water boils at the temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit. I wonder, friend, have you ever been burned by boiling water? Have you ever been burned by steam? That's only 212 degrees. Amen. Hell, the fire of hell. God in heaven, you can put a roast in an oven, you sisters, and turn it on 350 degrees. 3 and 4 hours it's cooked. You cook it overnight and it's falling apart. Can you imagine being in the fire of hell? Such a perfect fire. Such a perfect heat. Oh God, forever and forever and forever and forever. Oh, why is the fire of hell so perfect? Because it will burn, but it will not consume. It will burn, but it will not kill your soul. Amen. Oh, there are methods today that doctors use to burn, amen, the ends of the nerves to keep the feeling, amen, to keep the sensation away. But hell's fire is so perfect, it will not burn the end of the nerve. There will be a full sensation of the pain and the torment of the fires of hell that God has created. They say that the center of the earth is hot, liquid rock. And God's word said it is a lake of fire and brimstone. Hell's fire is perfect, for Jesus said it is an unquenchable fire. A fire that cannot be put out. Jesus, or rather John, said of Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. When the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell, he was in torments. Amen. He was burning, but he could still have his senses. He was burning. Amen. Crying for one drop of water to cool his parching tongue. For I am tormented, he said, in this flame. He could hear. He could feel. He could remember. He could see. Oh, there's such a perfectness about that fire that beyond my comprehension of how all of these things could be able to take place within a man, amen, in his existence at one time, amen. Oh, he cried out for one drop of water. He who lived so lavishly, he who had everything, and said, I will not accept God. I will not accept the God of that beggar. I will not go to church. I don't want holiness. The only alternative for you is to die and go to hell. You'll either live holy, you'll live pure, or you'll die and go to hell. The word of God tells us, Jesus in Mark chapter number 9, our Lord preached more about hell than he did heaven. He described hell 14 times and only described the New Jerusalem and heaven one time. But in Mark chapter number 9 and verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I will not give it up, preacher. I will not turn to holiness. I will not get rid of it. Jesus said you'd be better off to cut it off. You'd be better off to get rid of it. You'd be better off to take it from your life. And you had to die and go to hell. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. What are you looking at that's going to send your soul to hell? What are you looking at that's going to send your soul to hell? I've got people in my church that I preach to about their internet and what they watch and what they look at, but they refuse to listen. They refuse to hear. Hey, you're going to die and go to hell. You hear me? If your eye offends you, pluck it out. A couple of weeks ago, we was in revival with Brother Noah Phillips. You know, there's some people say that's not sin. There's nothing wrong with it. It's Bebo and MySpace and these other websites. I've never been on them. It's just what I've heard some preacher's name. I didn't even know the name of them until I heard preachers preaching on it. 2 weeks ago, I was in revival, and Brother Noah Phillips was preaching for us, and he began to preach about this subject. If you have any doubt or question if it's wrong or not, you listen. But while he was preaching, conviction fell into our service. Brother Russell McDonald was there that night visiting. We had 30 or 40 visitors in the church that night. But as he was preaching, the Holy Ghost spoke a message in tongues, and Brother Russell McDonald interpreted that message. And God said, five. There are five people in this service that are committing this sin. The Holy Ghost said, it's sin. The Holy Ghost said, God said, it is sin. You say what you want to say, but if your eyes offending you, and your eyes going to send you to hell. You get on MySpace and Bebo, and that's the very words that Brother Phillips was saying when the Holy Ghost spoke. And God said, there's five here. I wonder how many's here this morning that is committing this sin. I wonder how many here this morning your eye is offending you. What you're looking at on your cell phone, what you're looking at in the privacy of your bedroom, it's going to send your soul to hell. You say, I don't care, preacher. I will not change. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. The only alternative for you is hell. Do you hear me? You'll either line up or you'll go to hell. You'll get rid of it or you'll go to hell. I don't care if you're a preacher's wife. I don't care if you're an evangelist's wife. It is sin. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. And if you don't, you're going to go to hell. I believe what our Lord said, Brother Gabriel. I believe he was just as serious that it would be better for you to literally take your hand and pull your eyeball out of its socket and cast it away from you than you would to be able to look at what you're looking at and die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you, there's people right here I'm preaching to this morning. If you don't change, you're going to hell. I said, I don't care if you get up around this altar and shout. I don't care how much you speak it in tongues. But what you're looking at and what you're doing behind closed doors and in the privacy and secrecy of the darkness. Amen. The pastor said it'll be brought to light, but it will send your soul to hell. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. What are you touching that's going to send you to hell? What are you handling, young man, that's going to send you to hell? Did you feel the Holy Ghost last night as Brother Sutherland got down here and walked among you young men? Amen. And began to preach about your fornication. Hey, what are you touching? What are you handling? That's going to send your soul to hell. That's going to damn your soul to hell. You'd be better off, sir. I don't know who you are, but you'd be better off to take your hand and cut it off. Cut it off from your body and cast it from you. Die and go to hell. My God, my God! I was praying. I ain't nothing or nobody, but I was praying, Brother Sutherland, about what you preached last night, about people not wanting to hear. I felt like the Lord dealt with me. They don't hear, Brother Brent, because there's no fear of God in their heart. There's no fear of hell. There's no fear of judgment. There's no fear of retribution. You listen to me, just because you think you got away with it last week, just because you didn't get caught, just because nobody found out, it does not mean God didn't see it. Amen. God saw it. God knows it. God wrote it down. And you're facing all judgment day. I don't know how anybody else preaches it here. But if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. I preach to my young people, I don't even want you holding hands. When you touch and hold hands, then your hand goes around her neck. And then you pull her up close to you, and your body touches her body. And then the next thing you know, your lips is touching her lips. And then the next thing you know, you're committing adultery and fornication. And it's going to send your soul to hell. If your hand is offending, you cut it off. If you can't handle it, get rid of it. If you can't handle her, get rid of her. If you can't handle him, get rid of him. My God, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. I wish I had a preacher that would preach to me when I was a boy. Not to hug, not to kiss, not to touch. I didn't have that, Brother Corey. When I got saved at 18 years old, I didn't know how to date as a Christian. I didn't know anything about it. My wife was raised up in church too, but she didn't know anything about it. Wasn't taught that way. When I got saved, there's a group of young people at those churches. They'd go out after church, and the girls would sit in the boys' laps. And then after they went to McDonald's, they'd go in some dark place and kiss and touch and handle. And there's times, I didn't know no better. But I held her hand. Next thing I knew, I was holding her around the neck. Next thing I knew, I was kissing her. That's as far as it went. But there was sin in my heart. I don't care what you say, young man. You cannot hold a girl or kiss a girl without ungodly lust and feelings entering into your heart and entering into your soul. And if your hand is offending, you cut it off. Whatever you got to do, get rid of it. It'll send your soul to hell. You know why we got so much divorce? Because we got too many people handling it before they get married. And they can't find the will of God. They can't pray because they're so caught up in their lust. They're so caught up an infatuation, and they're handling it, and it's offending them, and it's sending them to hell. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Where are you going? Who are you hanging with that's offending you? Young people and older people alike. I heard Brother Larry last night. I'm telling you, I'm just different. Whenever somebody said the Lord dealt with me or spoke to me, I listen. That's when my ears perk up, brother, because I want to hear. I want to hear what God says. I want to know what the Lord thinks about it. Amen. And I heard the preacher last night say he felt like God spoke to him and said, you better stay right here. Where's your feet been taking you? Where's your feet been taking you? If my feet offend me, cut them off. Amen. If there's somebody pulling on you to go to a worldly church, if there's somebody pulling on you to go somewhere where it's a little bit looser, cut it off. Amen. It don't matter. Sometimes you have to be up front. Sometimes you have to say, no, I will not go with you. Amen. Try trying to sugarcoat it and tell them no. The devil don't give up easy. You hear me? I said, cut it off. Cut it off. Cut off the relationship. Cut off the relationship that's pulling your soul down to hell. You'll either have holiness or you'll go to hell. If you're lost in this service, when you do get saved, you'll live holy or you won't go to heaven. And if you're here and you're supposed to be saved and you ain't living right, you are going to hell. As some of you young people think church is a game. You come to church, these preachers preach, they pour their soul out. They pray and seek God and fast for your soul and labor and weep on the altar. And you come around these bleachers and these chairs and you're just having your good time. And you're just worried about who you're going to see and who you're going to talk to. If your little buddy and your little sister is keeping you from getting in, you better cut it off. If they're pulling you to the back instead of pulling you to the front, you better get rid of them. They're not your friends. They're offending you and they'll pull you down to hell. Who, the prophet said, who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burnings? Who among us? The Word of God said there will be a day of separating when Christ will separate the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Amen. You may run with the crowd today, but there's coming a day the five foolish virgins are going to realize, as Brother Savage preached, I don't have what it takes to make it. Oh, there's coming a separating time when the wheat will be separated from the tares and the wheat will be gathered into the barn, but the wheat will be burned. The tear will be burned with unquenchable fire. Do you fear hell? Do you fear the judgment of God? Do you fear the wrath of the Almighty? I'll tell you who you should fear. Not your friend's opinion. Not the peer pressure that's placed upon you. Not what your family is talking to you about and running holiness down. Not your little friends on Bebo that's run down holiness preachers and run down holiness doctrine. That's not who you ought to be afraid of, but you ought to fear God, because He has power to cast your soul into hell. He has power to cast your soul into hell. That's whom you should fear. I don't know anything to tell you except what the Lord dealt with me. You'll either live holiness or you'll go to hell. You'll either live holiness or you'll go to hell. Follow peace with all men and holiness. For thou is no man, no man, no man, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl. It's going to see God. Nobody. I don't care. If you're, listen to me, your daddy might be a preacher. Your mama might be a preacher. But if you ain't saved and washed in the blood and living holy, you're going to go to hell. Preachers' kids go to hell when they're not saved and washed in the blood and living holy and pure. They will go to hell. They will go. We'll go to hell. Praise God.
Heaven, God.
What are you thinking about right now?
Come on, brother. Come on.
What are you thinking about, young man, right now? That if anybody else around here knew, you'd be ashamed of. What have you said, mom and daddy, about your pastor and what they preached? What have you said that's going to send your soul to hell? Because you've run holiness down. And you've put the man of God down to your children. You listen to me. And when your children get in a mess, it's going to be your fault. And when they die and go to hell, it's going to be your fault. Because you run down holiness. You young boys, we got this metro feminine look coming on. This worldly hairdos and goosed up and spiked up and oiled down and shirts that look like blouses. Huh? It'll send you to hell, young man. You hear me? You want to fit in the mold. You want to be like everybody else. You young girls with your short skirts and your split skirts and your tight skirts and blouses and your hairdos that make you look seductive and do not look like a woman that's holy and pure and chaste, coupled with fear. Oh, let me fear God enough that I will do right. What's going to send your soul to hell? Come on, I want your heads bowed. Put your eyes closed. I'm going to make it a little easier on you. Come on. You prayed last night, but you didn't pray through. You prayed last night, but you didn't pray through. You didn't give everything to God. Come on, there's something moving right now. Why don't you come on? I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But God said, if you don't live holy, you're going to hell. You can... If you don't live holy, the only alternative for you is hell. Come on, young man. Come on, there's some more. Come on, step out from where you're at. Come on. Come on, step out from where you're at right now. Come on, right now. While the Spirit of the Lord is convicting your heart. Mom and Daddy, what about you? How long are you going to stiffen your heart? How long are you going to rebel? Hell was made as a place of punishment for those that rebel against God's authority, that rebel against God's power, that rebel against God's kingdom. And when you rebel against the man of God and God's word, and then hell is the only alternative for you. God, don't go any further in your rebellion. Don't go any further in your way, but turn to the Lord. And humble your will, as our preacher preached to us. Humble your will before God. Come on, there's others that need to be coming right now. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Praise God. Amen. As they sang the song this morning, we're going to open this altar now. God ordained this for you. You're here this morning. God has dealt with you through the meeting. You've made some outward semblances, but the Lord's are talking to your heart. There's some young ladies that you need to pray right now before you get yourself caught in that trap that you can't get out of them. Amen. There's some young men that's still sitting right here. Amen. You need to be up here where these are. I'm praying right now. While these are coming, would you come on? Mom and dad, you need to come this way too. You need to pray. Bring them around you. Let them show them how to repent and how to pray. Sing the song, come on. Sing the song, come on.